Hello everyone, my name is Jen Torres and I am a God, and so are you. Like many of you, I was raised to believe that if I just prayed hard enough, God would save me. As it turns out, that was actually true. I saved me. At the age of 15, I became pregnant with a beautiful baby girl who dropped in just in time to save my miserable life. This was my first awakening. This podcast is about all of the words and listening to those words to begin to envision what is possible. Because sometimes, as individuals, we feel we need to know everything, have it all together, and be everything all of the time. But that's why we live in a world filled with other people. Each person holds a piece of the puzzle. It's about being open to new information, new ideas, and new perspectives. We're going to talk about all of the topics surrounding what it takes for you to step into your God-Goddess journey with me as we uncover all things living self-actualized and in your inherent divine God state. This podcast is about doing whatever it takes to develop and nourish the God in you. Listeners of the She's a God podcast, help me to welcome Lauren Ashia Light, also known as Lauren Kimberly Moore. Lauren has over 30 years of experience in the healing arts. She is an emissary of the Divine Mother and an initiated Rose Priestess. I love the way she works with women because she focuses her work on feminine soul initiation. Doesn't that sound like everything? Feminine soul initiation. Yes, I love that. So Lauren really works to support women who are ready to restore and reclaim their new earth archetype and step into self-leadership for their aligned sacred work. Without further ado, let's jump into this interview with Lauren Kimberly Moore. Okay, everyone. So welcome to another brand new episode of the She's a God podcast. So before I jump into this episode, you already heard all about Lauren Moore and everything that she's doing right now within her space. But I just want to just give a shout out to everybody who's listening and say that I know I haven't been on like super consistently the last like month or so, but it's getting back on the regular. So I just want to just give a shout out to that. I've been like following my groove and in my own body, like what's feeling good to work on. And many of you know I'm already, you know, deep in the human design world, like putting the classes together and stuff like that. And that's been something I've been kind of focusing on. So love everyone who listens to the podcast, and my attention has been elsewhere, but I am bringing it back to the weekly episodes. So I'm super excited to kick it back off with Lauren, who is a dear sister friend of mine. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jen. So happy to be here. Thanks for asking.
Oh, yes. I'm so excited to get into this because I met Lauren very randomly through, I would call it like a women's container, priestess container, a spiritual container, through another sister friend who went with her to Egypt. It's so funny. I told Lauren, and she knows the story, but I told her that she is a manifestation come true for me because I was looking for more women like her that live in my neck of the woods. Okay. So people listening to this podcast know I live in the Midwest of the United States of America in a state called Wisconsin. And so I was really calling in like more women who are on the path, the spiritual path, self-help path, whatever you want to call it. And I was like, man, like, where are they? Like, I want to connect with more women like who are doing this work. And no joke, Lauren, like, I don't know if I told you the full story, but literally, like, I want to say it was less than 30 days for sure. That's when our dear friend Kira reached out to me, and I think she kind of connected us, or I can't remember exactly what happened, but we ended up connecting that way.
Yeah. Gosh, I don't really remember how it happened either, but I would say I was probably in a similar position reaching out to women that I was finding who were kind of in my local area, because I also wanted that sort of personal connection with others who are on priestess path and common ground to talk about and to learn more about each other and what medicine we were bringing to our communities and how we could collaborate even.
Yes. And it's so important, I think. And we'll probably just get right into it. But I think, you know, one of the many things we have in common is the feeling around just the importance of sisterhood and like how important it is to be connected with other women who are like-minded and, you know, who honor the divine feminine and who enjoy and understand the divinity that happens when women circle and when they are together.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are definitely reprogramming the sister wound, the, you know, the common themes that happen in relationships with women, the competition, the comparisons, the judgments, the cattiness, all of that, you know, that's been played out over the past generations in women really just need to be reoriented to what brings us into our own power. And that is sisterhood. Like, I have no doubt that that is our innate design, is to be in community and to support one another, to help us bring out our soul gifts, to help us, you know, raise our children together, to really be in discernment around spiritual wisdom. And we can hold such beautiful containers together because really, I feel like Jen, I see the truth of who you are, even when you can't see it. And that's like such a magic that happens when women come together in sacred space. And so, yeah, it's so beautiful.
It really is. And the thing is it's no mistake that I feel like women have been sort of pitted against each other for so long. And I think that was divine construction, or not divine construction, but more like patriarchal construction, to kind of keep that frequency from connecting and elevating and expanding. So I know my life has changed since I've entered initially online sisterhood priestess containers, and then bringing that more to the physical space where I do these women's circles, you know, here where I live, and so do you. And actually it was recently at Lauren's winter solstice, and it was just so amazing. Like, the frequency shift, you could just feel it happen like in real time. And I was like, wow, like, that's the magic of doing this work. It's just like, I felt so high driving home. I was like, okay, like 10 and 2, 10 and 2, because I was just like, wow, like on cloud nine. It was so good. So for people who, you know, are just coming into this conversation and they're kind of trying to get their head around, what does it mean, you know, to walk this path or to do this kind of work, this spiritual work in their life, maybe tell us a little bit about, you know, how you got on the path to doing what you do today.
Well, I would say that the easiest place to start is when I was, I don't know, around 11. I say 11. I'm pretty sure that's when it was. My mom introduced me to transcendental meditation. So I learned that practice at an early age. And for some reason, it like really clicked. Like, I was in it. And it helped me in so many ways with, like, seriously, like TMI, but like with my menstrual cycle, the pain that I was having every month, like, it was really good pain management. It also helped me as a youth athlete to really focus and amplify my athletic capacity. So I knew, like, even at a young age, like, this was something that was really beneficial in my life. And then in my 20s, I started to just really expand and explore beyond that practice. I was doing silent meditation retreats in Vipassana style. That was definitely an up level, doing a 10-day silent retreat. And I feel like I've always been drawn to contemplative life. And I think that's what my specific priestess path is. That's what is really like my soul essence. And so I think that all my life, I've really kind of been trying to pinpoint my unique gifts in life, knowing without a doubt from a young age, I was here to serve a specific purpose. And then, like, you know, looking everywhere outside of myself for that, and like getting to middle age even, and still not necessarily finding that until I was finally guided to the sacred feminine path and the feminine arts that opened me up to the idea that, oh, what I was seeking for all along was within me. And all the years of being in that internal space with meditation still wasn't, you know, allowing me to really step into to that aspect of myself and to that sacred service. And I think it's because I didn't have the full awareness of the feminine face of God. Like, I was really into that place of intimate relationship with God, but I only knew it from a context of, you know, the kind of more religious traditions or even the Christian wisdom traditions that are contemplative in nature, but still don't really honor, like, have the, like, the essence or the fragrance of the feminine. And so connecting to the Magdalene Rose priestess path felt like a homecoming, because it felt like, oh, now I finally found my lineage. And can, and then just the fullness of the divine, you know, where the masculine and feminine are in that sacred union. So that has just been so enriching and allowed me to really feel into all of myself. And that's what I love about the priestess path too, is that, you know, we're helping women receive all of themselves. And that can be so transformational for so many women.
Yeah. First off, shout out to Transcendental Meditation. Like, I actually, that's how I got on my path, was through Transcendental Meditation. I don't know if we've ever talked about that or not. Yeah, that's actually how I got on my spiritual path, is back in 2018, I was like feeling super, you know, just unwell and lost. And I was already in my 30s when I learned Transcendental Meditation. So I think back, or while you were telling your story, how you started on your path, I was thinking like, wow, how lucky to start that practice at such a young age, because that changed my life. Like, when I started doing Transcendental Meditation, also called TM, that's really when I found that stillness within myself. And that's kind of the stillness that you're speaking of, that energy of just being. And instead of, you know, from the moment we open our eyes, we're going and we're doing, but there's this different sort of frequency in this Kamiyan way of being when you're able to rest within yourself. And I didn't know what that was until I literally wasn't a grown ass adult. I was like 32 when I learned to do Transcendental Meditation, I think. I was in my early 30s, I know that. And I was just like, whoa, this completely changed my life. So that's awesome that you got into it so young. And how did you get into, I know you mentioned that the Magdalene container really helped you kind of realize like, oh, this is my lineage. This is the frequency and like where I belong. So with, in terms of like the Rose Priestess, what does that mean exactly to be a Rose Priestess?
Yeah, well, the Rose Priestess is a woman who walks as kind of a devotee. I don't really like that term, but people say that. For me, I feel like it's like I'm serving as an emissary of the Divine Mother. And the Rose Path specifically is like the beauty way, or how the rose represents pure love. And so we are walking as pure love, bringing that frequency to not only ourselves, most importantly and foremost, because we are an embodiment of that pure love and sharing that with the world. And so it's really about, I feel, a restoration of our original creation template.
I've heard people who have journeyed with the rose, you know, and then the Rose Priestess, I feel like being like another layer of that. And it does seem like a journey to like bringing you back to yourself, the delicate and beauty that is the feminine energy. So I know that your work focuses on feminine soul initiation. And what does that mean exactly? What does that mean to you?
I mean, let's talk about the rose just as a symbol too, and talking about bringing women into a space where they can self-witness. Like the thorns on the rose might represent the challenges that we have in life and honoring them, but also it can mean part of our shadow self and allowing ourselves to see that aspect of ourselves and to be able to receive an invitation to refine ourselves so that we can really explore the fullness of the rose, and like we can see our life as sort of this unfurling process of the petals of the rose. And within each rose, there's the soul, you know, and the soul is kind of like our essence. It's the way that we have come into this incarnation, bringing forward particular medicine that each woman carries. And if you do enough soul searching, I think that we come to a place where we have an acknowledgement and an awareness that we are all uniquely created and appointed to a specific task. And for me, I've always felt that. And I think there's a beauty in that. Like, there's so much in our world that leaves us wanting deeper meaningfulness, purpose, and to be in sacred action. And that's a spiritual truth. Like we're here to be in service. We're here to be the hands and feet of the divine. And I think that this really can like feel so good and nourishing for our soul, is if we take this path to self-discovery, to learn about our soul gifts. And you do this work so beautifully in Human Design, is to help people figure out their unique like essence. You know, the work of Human Design can really, really accelerate the process of self-discovery. And yeah, so there's this beautiful process for me that happened as I was in training to become a certified spiritual director. At the time, I had left actually a pretty fundamental church community. And I have been one that I love to explore all facets of spiritual and religious life. So like I have no tie or like connection to any specific one other than I know that Yeshua, Jesus, has appeared many times in my life to bring pretty transformational wisdom in some pretty sticky situations. So I've always had the strong connection there. And so when I left the church, I also was going through this program, the certification, and I knew at the end during our final project that God was calling me to still be in this lineage, this Christ lineage, but I didn't really know what that was going to look like. Then, like moving into the Magdalene priestess initiation, I was like, oh, this too is the Christ lineage. And so it's just allowed me to like deepen into that connection with Yeshua, to understand how these personifications of the divine are kind of weaved together. And it felt like a coming home. And so I feel really so much more clear on my path based on how I connect with the divine. And all that to say too, is that I still feel like we really overcomplicate spiritual life. And for me, I've been very always drawn to simplicity. And for me, that means really finding kind of like that direct divine connection rather than maybe like, you know, and I will say like as on the rose path, at least the way I was initiated, we connect into the Rosa Mystica Council, which has a lot of these beautiful emanations of the divine feminine. For me, if you put a lot of women together, like what happens at the beginning, at the end of circle? Like it's super chatty, right? Yeah. Like we would love. So like for me, council can get really chatty like that. And for me, I'm like, that's beautiful and great. But for me to like really focalize on what the divine is calling me into in each moment, I have to get really quiet. I have to get still and I have to go to one direct focal point. So that's my way of connecting with the divine. Sometimes it's just even connecting into like the medicine of the rose.
I love that you just kind of like laid all that out for us. Here's why I think it's super important too, is to hear this from you and understand that it doesn't all look the same. And it looks different for everybody. And like in terms of like spirituality and religion, and sometimes a person can weave in and out. And like you mentioned, you know, for you, it was just feeling like, where am I going now? And allowing it to take you. you know, into different places and understanding new and different ways spirituality can be expressed. And I think that is where we're going. Like, I really truly feel like in the new age, you know, we hear so much about the new age. I feel that we are going into a time and space where all of the ways in which we thought we had to be for God is kind of breaking away. You know, it's kind of really becoming this individual, unique connection to the all. And that's however you or anybody listening to this wants to call it that, right? It could be God, source, universe, all that is, goddess, divine feminine, Sophia, what it, Christ, Sophia, whatever you feel the words are right for you. I really feel we're stepping into this time where everybody is uniquely connected to that source energy and they're doing it in their own unique way.
And language can be so tricky and triggering. And like, there's an invitation to reconcile even with like the word God. I mean, I've been in communities, especially like new age communities, where somebody might throw out the word God and everyone's like, oh, you know, like, cause it's gotta be source or universe or all of this and that. And I do, I think we need to really lay all of the entrees out on the table and even recognize how we may have thrown the baby out with the bathwater when it comes to like Yeshua or certain like, you know, religions. And then we've gone into, you know, only accepting more, you know, shamanic, pagan type, earth-based spirituality. And I feel like there's a place for both, and all places have their shortcomings because people get really hurt in open spiritual communities just as equally as they do in religious houses. So it's really important that we go through this process of deconstruction to deconstruct the things that have hurt us and then the beliefs we created around them. And I do this with spiritual direction. And then there's this process of reconstruction where sometimes, okay, yeah, I actually see now a little broader, more spacious idea of who Mary Magdalene is or the feminine is or Yeshua or Krishna, whoever, you know, like wherever your woundings have come from. Sometimes we can return to that and reap so much benefit and healing. And we're seeing a lot of that right now with women who have been in the goddess movement, and all of a sudden Jesus is coming to them and ayahuasca ceremonies and all this. And it's interesting to me, right? So like, there's this place where we can maybe lay all the pieces out on the table and start to reconstruct so that our spiritual life becomes really healthy and really nourishing for each person. I don't believe in a one size fits all. I think community is so important, but then like tribalism can also be really detrimental. Again, it's like, you know, we have to be really grace filled when it comes to religion and spirituality. There's so much work to do in healing all of that.
Yes. I mean, I could not agree with you more, because there is so much within both the spiritual community and the religious community. There's dogma. There's this feeling of like, it has to be this way. Or, you know, even in a spiritual group, if you say God, like you were mentioning, it's like, oh my gosh. Or, you know, I was the doctor recently and I said, oh my goddess. Like, and I just like said it out loud, just not even thinking. And the doctor was kind of looked at me like he's never heard anybody say that before. And I just thought it was so funny, you know, because I didn't even think about it. Like, I just said it. And so it's just interesting to see that, and so cool that we're living during this unique time on the planet where things are shifting and changing and becoming totally different, but then the same, you know, for different people. And we're here to witness it and see it and be part of that shift. How do you manage and how do you deal with, like, if for people who have both experienced the very religious, maybe structures, and then also for people who have maybe been super in the woo, deep in the woo, whether that be through shamanic practices or priestess initiations and lineages, or maybe, you know, they more so resonate with, you know, medicine women lineages or mystics, oracles. Like there's so many different terms for this way of being. So what my question is really like, you mentioned that people can get hurt, right? Like people can get hurt no matter what container you're in. So no matter if you're in a super religious structured container, you can experience wounding. And or if you're in a super spiritual woo container, and you know, there can be some kind of situation that happens where you can experience wounding. How do you navigate that? Like how do you shift through it in a way where you don't maybe internalize it or now judge it and say it's not for me ever again, because that's just the way those people are and that's how they're always going to be. How do you navigate that?
Well, let's see. I could maybe offer a lot of different things there, but I'll try to just focalize it in what I think is like my jam or perhaps my bias. And it comes back to the idea of sovereignty, I believe. I notice that what seems really the impulse of humanity at this time is that we're really putting our authority in the external. The coach, the guru, the pastor, the priest, the YouTuber, we've got all these incredible ways to access information and teachings. But we really haven't been taught how to be in discernment around what is right for us. And if you're in the real religious end of things, they're going to say, well, you have to go to scripture, you know, and then you base it off that. And that's one way, I think. But then the other way that like really feels resonant for me, and I only say this because it's probably how I was wired through meditation, but like for me, it's about gnosis. It's the inner standing, like the inner wisdom, that inner connection, that intimate connection with the felt sense of the divine. And I really believe that that these two things are actually meant to be married in a sense, because the masculine is the logos, the word of God. And then body is the Sophia Christ, that embodied wisdom. And so when there's this marriage of the two, you have this place of coming into deep discernment. And we have not really been taught that. We haven't been taught that the answers can be found on our own. And I think that the way that we're supposed to be uniquely, or the way that we're supposed to be directed in life is through the divine. I truly believe in putting God in the center of our lives rather than following somebody else's protocol that like has worked for them, that makes sense for them, that holds their beliefs, which also, you know, comes from like their lens and their of their own life, their own wounding. So like there's so much like that we are like taking in from the external, but like not really filtering it through our own body. And I think that's like the first place we get kind of like hung up. And it leads to, you know, allowing us to like move into places that can hurt us. It can drain our bank account. It can lead us really, I'm talking about like leaders when you're in your leadership role and you're trying to build business, like you can be in really misaligned soul-led business because you're trying to work somebody else's process and protocol. Like where are you discerning and bringing that back in to where divine is at the center and knowing really, is that right for you or not? Like maybe there's something else that would work better. And how we get back into this sort of goddess at the center is really getting still and quiet with ourselves and being able to retreat from all the noise out here. Because there's a lot of good stuff out here and I'm not poo-pooing that. Like we need mentorship. We need information. But we also need to know that there's this filtration process and not all of that is for us, regardless of what other people are saying, because they all think that they know what we need.
Yeah, so much of what you said there resonates, because it does kind of feel like if you're, you know, on the spiritual side of things, then you're a spiritual person. If you are, you know, on the religious side of things, then you're religious. You know, it always just seems like it's one or the other. Or, and in terms of like getting wrapped up in, let's say, religious programming or even like spiritual programming or being in containers where you've been hurt or in sort of religious environments where you've experienced wounding, it does come back to, I love what you said about the putting your inner authority outside of yourself and like other people having that authority over you. And sort of whether you're conscious of it or not, you've given your power away over to somebody, either, you know, mentally, consciously, or unknowingly. And in that process, you know, you thought that like, and I'm not saying you, but like anybody, like thought that, you know, that person has enough power over them to hurt them in some way. And it's like, if we have our own, you know, inner authority, which I teach an entire class on inner authority and human design. And it's like my favorite club, one of my favorite classes to teach, because it is all about like not becoming sheeple. And, you know, how in 1781, we actually evolved as human beings and, you know, garnered two additional chakras that gave us emotional intelligence and our ego center, which really helped us to understand, like, you know, have this individual feeling of like, why am I here? What is my path? What do I believe? And from that space, navigating your path. And so I totally see what you say about what you're saying about like having given that power away in some shape or form, which is so interesting because I've never thought about it like that. Been in religious programming growing up, which was super wounding, and I'm still working through those wounds. And then I've been in spiritual containers where it was like horrible. And I thought I was going off to, you know, revitalize and come back fresh. And I ended up coming back totally spiritually wounded because it was like an explosive container and was like really not a good vibe at all. It was like very hurtful. So in pulling back from those situations, I guess I can see in hindsight how in some way I gave my power over to, you know, whether it be the religious structures or that person leading the priestess temple or whatever, or a spiritual group, and thinking that, like, you know, they're going to be the ones to whatever, keep me safe or make sure that I feel good when I go home. Well, at the end of the day, it's like up to me and it's my inner authority that's guiding me on whether or not I should go. And I can tell you just by hearing you say these things and then in hindsight, looking back, I was not using my inner authority in those situations. And I can clearly see how I was being called away from those things actually. And I just went anyway, because I thought that's what the next thing that I should do on my spiritual path to like up level in some way. And then it was disastrous, you know? So it's so funny how we do this and we don't even realize we're doing it.
I know. And it's interesting how both conservative religion and New Age spirituality can really be masked in a lot of kind of like titillating pieces that will draw people in based on like what their needs are at the time. And we need to err on the side of caution, but also like understanding that there is like a universal law. There is divine law. There is, you know, the ancient Essenes called it the holy law. They were really talking about like universal law. Like you do one thing, you make a certain decision and it has a particular consequence or influence. And if you're out of alignment with universal law, it's going to probably cause a negative, you know, thing. So if you engage in spirituality without understanding that there is both dark and light, and you just think it's all light and fluffy, you may end up experiencing some really challenging spiritual situations. And I feel like the church does this teaching well, but then they also like go to the extreme because I think they really err on the side of control and containment, and they don't often foster our human potential and allow us to really feel into the holy human that we are. And so that's why I think the priestess in particular has a beautiful job. It's not like for every priestess, but I think there's a lot of us that are here to like lay new foundation around how we meet God, goddess, and what that looks like for each person, that it doesn't have to look all the same. It doesn't even have to be tribal, although we do want to feel a sense of home. And I think sometimes that can just mean, you know, I want to connect to the traditions that are in my family lineage. How can I reconcile to some of that, even when I don't buy into all of it? Like, these are really interesting areas that we can, you know, work through. And I think that it can invite really healthy qualities of spiritual life for us in our lives that we can then pass down to our children and our children's children. We need the tradition, you know, we need the ritual, we need the bigger understanding of the why are we doing what we're doing, and what is it like, what do we need to know about spiritual life so that we're living in a more mature, like a mature framework of spirituality, really understanding the dynamics at play. And it doesn't mean that we have to, like, you know, become a fundamental Christian if Jesus shows up in our life, but that we often do that because we don't know anything different. And maybe there isn't anything different, but like, I feel like we're creating places now for people to come into community that want to be in a quality of worship or praise or prayer or contemplation that maybe holds some traditional components, but is also really open to explore these facets of the Holy Mother, Holy Father. I'm saying that language because that's where I kind of land. That feels good to me. I resonate with like the personification of the Father, Mother, because I work with the elements and the earth. That just makes sense to me. So
well put, because I really do feel like we're stepping into a new era where we are removing the labels. And it's so funny because yesterday I had to be last week because I'm on like a social media cleanse right now. So like last week I saw an Instagram post of a woman who was like from New Age to Jesus Christ. And I was just like her, that was her whole new thing. Like she was leaving the New Age spirituality thing and she was to religion. And I'm thinking like, it's the same thing to me, you know, it is like, I don't see it as like being like Jesus is out of reach for us just because we're priestesses and we honor the divine feminine face of God, that somehow Jesus is no longer accessible to us. Let's say, so it's just so interesting to see this, but I do think that the labels are coming off. I think that's a big thing that, you know, women like you and I and other women who are doing these practices are holding space for that freedom of, you know, spirituality to just let it be whatever it is that you want it or need it to be for you, and allow that to show up for you naturally just by channeling in and anchoring into that silent place inside that Lauren's talking so much about. So I know that through your containers that you have online, which I'm part of, and through the different work that you do with women, you have so many amazing modalities, or I don't know if I should call them modalities, but like containers where you are holding space with the Rose of Silence retreats that you do, also the Tree of Life practice. And we did talk about light body living as well. So can you kind of talk about or speak to some of the ways in which you're working with women?
Yeah. So what is really evolving is coming from this true acceptance, the archetype within me that is bringing my soul gifts and sacred service forward. And it's interesting that this archetype, she's always certainly been part of my life. And I recognize now like why I've always been interested in the things that I have. And so what's unfolded is this etheric monastery. So like, this is the monastery for the, you know, the modern mystic, the feminine mystic. This is for the modern monk, the sacred rebel, you know, the inner monastic. And someday I would love for it to be a physical place, like an actual monastery for the new Eden, the spiritual seekers that are looking to kind of seek refuge from the overwhelm of the world so they can reorient themselves to God, Goddess, to that intimate connection with the divine, which really comes out of solitude and silence and contemplative life. And so I'm really creating a space for the contemplative rose path. This is kind of a leadership program for women who really want to be very integritous and authentic in the way they hold space for women. It's like a 7-module program that is all contemplative in nature, so that we're really learning how to slow the hell down, because we just don't do that. Like, even with our best intentions, I hold weekly classes for women called Sacred Feminine Flow. And each class we do a share. It's kind of like circle, you know, we always share, but there's prompts. And what I'm noticing is that women, especially now, I'm feeling like there's a stronger and stronger desire and longing to slow down, to simplify, and to kind of like disconnect from the busyness of life and the addiction to social media. As like, you're doing this fast. It's incredible. I just heard a statistic that it's like, if you took the average time that we're on, that everyone is on their phones each day, that we would be on our phones for about 26 years out of our life. That's like a quarter of our lifespan. We're literally like this on our phones.
Wow.
Crap, is that not confronting?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. And so the other aspect of contemplative life is this retreat and spiritual fasting. It's a very strong disciplinary practice, which leads to mastery. That's why it's a leadership program that covers everything from our mental capacity to sort of reorient and focus on the divine. It's like building a muscle when we go to the gym, that, you know, it's a basic meditation practice, you know, this working with a mantra and TM. And I love how some of the Christian mystics that talk about the practice of centering prayer. It's, there was this, I guess he was called a monk, that developed this process, and he was teaching it to nuns, and there was a nun in the audience who was teaching, and she's like, I just can't do it. Like, my mind just won't stop. And he's like, well, then you have 1,000 times to return to God. Like, each thought that takes you away is another opportunity to return. And so that's how we build the muscle. It's like, you know, doing the reps. We can do a lot of reps working to calm the mind. And then there's practices that are like gateways to getting into stillness, because there is like, you can't just like go from like 100 miles per hour to stillness and feel like it's natural or comfortable or even safe in your body unless you've had the practice. So there's the somatic experience of really getting into the body and meeting our edges in the silence and stillness, and, you know, support that. And then there's like movement as a portal, there's sound, there's chanting. And then there's the application of the light body living, which is where we get our physical body and our energetic body really clear through hygienics and living foods, purification rites, all the things that like really get our temple clean. It's doing a lot of cleaning house. And then how can we apply a contemplative attitude into our everyday life? You know, when we're folding laundry, when we're doing dishes, when we're tending to our kids, all of this can become a practice, which then becomes part of our devotional life, because God is then at the center of everything that we do, everything that we do. And so that's how we build the ability to really truly know the voice of the God, goddess, of the divine, because that's where we want to be led from. But how do we know that voice, that nudge, the touch, the smell, just like a baby knows its mom when it's in the womb, like it knows her everything, her essence, her heartbeat. Like, we know God that intimately only when we spend a lot of time in that intimate space, when we close off the outside world and we turn inwards. And so that's how then we better reorient ourselves to the truth. So we know our truth, because we just know that relationship so well. Monastica. So yeah, Monastica is the etheric monastery for what I call as the new Eden. This is what I feel like, you know, when we talk about new earth, or if we're in the new age space, which I love so much too, because it really brings us beyond our humanness and it stretches our human potential. It gets into the quantum. I love all of that as well. And I do fully believe that as a human, we're meant to bring heaven on earth. And that is through our creation process, our co-collaborative creations with the divine, and that we're at the precipice of sort of creating something completely new in all facets, you know, medicines, communities, construction, like physical homes, like all the things. Like, we're going to create this new Eden and like really restore, I think, the intention that the creative source designed for us. And so Monastica serves this new Eden in this capacity. It's a place for women to come into retreat to really get clear, pristine direction for their life.
Can anybody join Monastica at any time? Is it like a Facebook container they can just join?
Well, so I said it's evolving and it's going to become a membership. Right now, you can be a part of the Contemplative Rose Path, which will be coming out in a few months. It's really kind of it's the second iteration of Monastica, and I'm just formatting it a little bit different. And then what's coming up next, if you want to get a feel for the type of work that I do, April 4th, 5th, and 6th, I'm hosting a personal retreat. So the Rose of Silence retreat will be a little bit different than last year. Instead of one day, we're going to stretch it over three. So we're like amping it up a little bit and really inviting you to take the disciplinary action, to be in full devotion and commitment in order to be fully enrolled in your life by taking this time to sort of step outside of the grind and to get really still so you can start to be directed by that divine relationship, cultivating that relationship. And so we meet 2 hours each day on Zoom where we'll do some contemplative practices. And then for the rest of your day, we have like a protocol format that's loosely there for you if you want it, or you can spend your time, you know, just in your own contemplative space. And it's just a beautiful way to be in self-care and to be in reverence to yourself and that relationship to the divine. And it is helping you, again, build that muscle. You know, it's really hard if we're new to this, especially, it's really hard to do without facilitation. And so, before that, on March 18th, we're going to have like a pre-retreat gathering that's really going to prepare the nervous system for this time of silence and quieting and slowing down and stillness, because I know that that can be really hard in the nervous system if, you know, unless we have some tools. Getting into our inner sanctuary ideally should be so yummy and nourishing. Like, our temple should be our home. It should be where we really feel most at rest, because nothing else in life is really guaranteed. And even for people that have chronic illness or pain, you know, we use the tools, especially in the Contemplative Rose Path, to help you get comfortable in your own body so that you're not identifying with the pain or identifying with the discomfort or the wounding. And so, you know, there's that quality of healing that needs to happen there. And so we're going to work with some somatic tools in that pre-retreat time, and then we'll drop in together first weekend in April. And then after that, we're going to do a week-long spiritual fast. So that'll be after the retreat, maybe a couple weeks later. Yeah. So those are like some of the things that are coming up.
That's what's coming up for Lauren in 2025. If you all want to join her, again, starting in early March for dropping in, then moving into April for the actual retreat. And then after that, a full week of a cleanse, which I know I'm due for and I'm working on right now myself. So what else are you excited for moving forward in 2025?
Yeah, well, I think in the fall, Well, I'll do the first in-person Rose of Silence retreat. So I'm excited about that. And let's see what else. I love collaborative work, and there's so much stirring around what is, I think, you know, where priestesses are being like designated to. And 2025, I believe, is really about answering the call. Like not going into your ego and saying, well, let me wait until all these pieces are in place and then maybe. It's about boldly stepping into what the divine is calling you into. And sometimes we can miss that too. If we don't have that connection, that intimacy, and that ability to hear that voice of God, we can miss an opportunity that we're meant to be here on this earth in this moment for. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss that opportunity.
Totally. Yes. I'm so excited for everything you have coming up in 2025. And we are going to leave links below to everything that we talked about today so that you all can join and jump on Lauren's email newsletter list, anything like that, that so that you can stay connected with her and all of the different ways that you can work with her coming up. So yeah, I'm super excited. I will likely be part of all of what you have going on. I've already like been planning on, I think, your spring equinox that you have coming up. So thank you so much for spending this time with us and for helping us to drop into this beautiful stillness that we are all needing right now in our life.
Yes, we are. We are. And yeah, thank you so much too for the work that you're doing in the world. I just want to honor you for that. And yeah, we can all take like this beautiful collective breath and just reconnect to the pulse of the earth that reminds us of who we are, why we're here, and how to move forward in each day. Just sending all of you out there listening so much love.
Thank you for listening to the She's a God podcast. Tune in next Thursday for a brand new episode. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. I would love to hear from you. Follow me on social media at This Is Jen Torres for all of the latest. And remember, she is a God, and so are you.